just change my ways, change my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way, strike them down to make them pay and change their
top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast, this Friday, January 17th, 2020. And I want to get back to the subject of cultural Marxism. Just to sort of round that out and at least finish what I didn't finish the other day, a counter strategy. William Lind, you know, you shouldn't listen to him. Anyway, that's what the new left would have you believe. The Herbert Marcuse's. So, before I forget, also, we played that clip I intended to play yesterday, Alan Greenspan. You know, we played that yesterday, him saying, well, you know, it's not a question of credit rating because the U.S. can pay any debt. It can print. We can always print more money, you know. We can pay any debt. We can pay any debt because we can print more money. What? Economic dilettante and provocateur, Alan Greenspan. Savant. Anyway, Alan Greenspan's little I don't know, what do you call that? Those little encapsulations of truth have a way of vanishing from the interwebs. And CNBC had they originally published a clip of that on YouTube. That YouTube video has vanished. And originally, Real Clear Politics linked to that video. And, you know, that was back in 2007. It's been about 10 years now. Hard to believe. 2011. So they linked to the video, and now it's just a picture of Alan Greenspan in that interview with no other link. However, I was going to mention yesterday that the CNBC article is still up. From August 7, 2011. No chance of default. U.S. can print money. Greenspan. No chance of default. U.S. can print money. The United States can pay, and they quote him, the United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default, said Greenspan on NBC's Meet the Press. That is, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, when the issue of recession arises. And, you know, we played the clip from the London School of Economics, you know, Professor Ricardo Reis yesterday. Are we on the verge of a global recession? Well, these guys would say so, and why, you know, we should have no issues. There could be no, I mean, if these people were really as bright as they fancy themselves, and they weren't just steeped in Keynesian rhetoric, so to speak, we would have no financial issues. But, you know, job security. Asking me if we're going to asking an economist, a London School of Economics economist, if we're headed into a recession is like asking a doctor if I'm going to catch the flu next week, he says. So, you know, speaking of that, I think of the recent RBN article. Where is that? Oh, I know. I want to do that instead. So, the economic prosperity article. Which one is that? We're flying high. I don't see it. I just saw that. Not. In 10 years. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't know where it ran off to, but, you know, it's one of those. Unprecedented periods of growth and prosperity, and the last 10 years, you know, the last time it was like this was right before the dot bomb. And we heard P.E. ratios. Then something bad happened. But then the mortgage market bailed us out, and then something bad happened. And now here we are again, and, you know, guys like Robert Kiyosaki and Jim Rickards and other folks at places like Agora Financial are saying, the sky's about to fall. The sky's about to fall. So we'll see. The London School of Economics economists warn us that, you know, it's inevitable. It's like flu season. Really? Because I wouldn't know it. I don't know. What about you? I mean, listeners to this broadcast and this network, I don't think really would agree that it's scheduled every year. Every, you know, so many months for a period of so many weeks, this is what happens. Really? Like clockwork, huh? That's, man. Again, speaking of Mandrake meets Tinkerbell, that's where we are. All right, let's get back into this cultural Marxism thing. Is it a myth? Is it a conspiracy theory? Well, yeah, it is a conspiracy. It's not a theory, it's a fact. And the irony is, when you go to the Frankfurt School Oracle Illusion Wikipedia entry for, you know, the Frankfurt School Wikipedia entry on this kind of stuff, there is that section titled Cultural Marxism Conspiracy Theory. Now, these guys, you read this. In contemporary usage, the term cultural Marxism refers to a far-right anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, which claims that, you know, suddenly you're reading this and you feel the kind of guilt that you're supposed to feel when you read what, you know, guys like William Lind say, you know, that suddenly just because of the group identity or the identity politics, you know, you are guilty. You know, the piece that I was reading, Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture? Certain groups, especially white males, were labeled oppressors, while other groups were defined as victims. Victims were automatically good, oppressors bad, just by what group they came from, regardless of individual behavior. But it's not that simple either. Because, you know, Bruce Jenner is a white male, but, you know, suddenly he's Caitlyn, and so now he's a hero. I was kind of a hero before because, you know, he's anyway. Stepping in where Mr. Kardashian left off. Anyway. I need to go wash my mouth out with soap now. So, you know, oppressor, oppressed paradigm, victimhood and oppression. That's how Marxism works. That's textbook Marxism. And again, as Mike Huckabee put it, you know, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. The intellectual class, he said, is the spark. The underclass is the fuel. Okay. So continuing, in contemporary usage, the term cultural Marxism refers to a far-right anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Anti-Semitic. So suddenly you're xenophobic if you think that there's a perpetual irreconcilable conflict being waged in society. Okay, it's a conspiracy theory. It says that which claims that the Frankfurt School is part of an ongoing academic and intellectual effort to undermine and destroy Western culture and values. According to the conspiracy theory, which emerged in the late 1990s, the Frankfurt School and other Marxist theorists were part of a conspiracy to attack Western society by undermining traditionalist conservatism and Christianity using the 1960s counterculture, multiculturalism. But again, it's not multiculturalism in its, you know, how most of us would typically think of it, and progressive politics and political correctness. The conspiracy theory is associated with American religious fundamentalists and paleoconservatives such as William S. Lind, Pat Buchanan, and Paul Weyrich. It also holds currency among the alt-right, white nationalist, neo-Nazi organizations, and the neo-reactionary movement. So, basically, the implication is that you are magnetically pulled by some tractor beam into one of these horrible organizations or affiliations if you read anything on this subject, particularly something like what I did. I had the audacity to read what William Lind wrote. So it doesn't mean that I ascribe to anyone's beliefs in particular. I mean, I watch all kinds of things. Watching David Gergen on CNN this morning, by the way, he looked uncomfortable. Who writes the script for that stuff? Line, please. Line. He looked more uncomfortable than I've ever seen him, and I don't know. He seemed shaken. Wonder what that was all about. Anyway, I watched that kind of stuff too. Listen to all kinds of stuff, and like Andrew Breitbart said, good reporting is good reporting, regardless of from whence it derives. So I'll just tell you this. This year, I think, is going to be an interesting year. It's going to be, as Dickens put it, the best of times and the worst of times. I really do. I think it's going to be a difficult year. And I feel like I've spent quite some time sort of apologizing and trying to make excuses for myself, and I'm done doing that. I think this year will be a year to just try to be for the past several months I've been talking about working on my own character and integrity, and I think, you know, it's an interesting concept when you think about integrity and the word in its orthodox sense, to have, you know, a thing having its pieces intact, its parts intact in the whole, you know, a ship's integrity allows it to maintain its watertight ability and the ability to float. Similarly, the word sincere, its etymological history is in ancient times, you know, making pottery. You make a bunch of vases to hold water, and you have a bunch that have cracks. You don't want to destroy them. You want to sell them. So they would fill the cracks with wax. The imperfections would be filled with wax, and then you could paint over that, and it would work fine. It would look fine. But you could hold it up to the light and see the light shine through. And obviously that's not something you can stick in an oven or anything. So its usefulness is limited. But those without cracks were considered more valuable. And so they would put wax in the ones with the imperfections, and those would have wax or cera in the Latin, and then those that didn't have wax were called sincera. So sincere is without imperfection, basically, which is akin to integrity, meaning it has all of its parts intact. And you can feel it, I think, when you start to compromise your own integrity, your own wholeness, so to speak, you start to feel like fragmented, you know, like a bunch of broken apart Legos. And I think that sort of speaks to or harkens to, you know, James chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, ought to expect nothing. Pieces are broken apart. And I think we all should be comfortable and confident to maintain our own integrity, our own wholeness, so to speak. And that should be something that we should be able to respect in one another. I don't think that's out of the question, but there is an effort these days. Part of what happens with cultural Marxism is it weaponizes controversy. You know, there may be controversy. I mean, I've talked about the fact that we have a controversial history, a number of different aspects of a controversial history in America that we could speak to if we could have an honest dialogue about these things and how we address those things going forward. The true and legitimate honest persecution of people groups in this society. But if we're weaponizing the controversy, then we're not having an honest conversation about that. And what good can come of that? I don't see any. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, This is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Welcome back. My goodness. It's just interesting, you know, you read about this stuff and the controversy that's waged. I mean, can we have an honest conversation about some of this stuff? Can we honestly speak to the fact, you know, like I've said before, if you look back at the past three generations. Well, I mean, where do we draw the line? Looking back from the World War II generation forward to now, is it me that, my observation anyway, that each successive generation seems to suffer from a greater degree and sense of self-loathing. Where did that come from? And if you ascribe to the conspiracy theory of cultural Marxism, it makes sense. Start reading what these guys wrote. I mean, even in the Frankfurt School Oracle Illusion, it says right at the outset, you know, the Frankfurt School comprised intellectuals, academics, et cetera, et cetera. The Frankfurt theorists proposed that social theory was inadequate for explaining the turbulent political factionalism and reactionary politics occurring in ostensibly liberal capitalist societies in the 20th century. But here it comes, critical of capitalism and of Marxism-Leninism as philosophically inflexible systems of social organization, the school's critical theory research indicated alternative paths to realizing the social development of a society and a nation. And that's, you know, you start talking about the reflexive model. And, you know, the Frankfurt School perspective of critical investigation, open-ended, self-critical, is based upon Freudian, Marxist, and Hegelian premises of idealistic philosophy. So, you know, again, dialectical negation and, you know, Freudian psychoanalysis, you know, Freud saying they don't realize we're bringing them the plague. To fill the omissions of 19th century classical Marxism, which could not address 20th century social problems, they applied the methods of anti-positivist or negativist sociology, even though we're led to believe we live in a positivism sort of society. It's that oxymoron of psychoanalysis and existentialism. School sociological works derived from syntheses of the thematically pertinent works of Immanuel Kant, Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, and Karl Marx, of Sigmund Freud and Max Weber, and Georg Simmel and Georg Lukacs. And so, I mean, it says it right there. If you read what these guys wrote, you want to hit yourself in the face with a hammer. So, you know, when this is what's being taught in universities, it's no surprise that as William Lind wrote in Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture, I concluded the other day with the student rebellion section, you know, as was true from the Institute's beginning, Marcuse and the few other people in the know did not advertise that political correctness and multiculturalism were a form of Marxism. But the effect was devastating. A whole generation of Americans, especially the university-educated elite, absorbed cultural Marxism, you know, as distinct from economic Marxism, is what that means, as their own idea. Accepting a poisonous ideology that sought to destroy America's traditional culture and Christian faith. That generation, which runs every elite institution in America, now wages a ceaseless war on all traditional beliefs and institutions. They have largely won that war. Most of America's traditional culture lies in ruins. And so again, I think of Albert Pike, "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists." My goodness. Here you go. But we're supposed to believe, I mean, even just reading the beginning of the Frankfurt School, you know, it's steeped in Marxist rhetoric, but you're not so fast. Cultural Marxism, not so fast. Well, you're talking about it right at the outset of the, what is this? Kind of contradictory, oxymoronic nonsense is this. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Men, yeah, room 702, just checked in. No, everything's all right. I wanted to ask about one thing. I don't seem to have a window. No, I looked. I looked over there, too. I don't have a window. I'm pretty sure about that. Well, no, there's nothing specific I want to see. She said I'd like a window if I can get a hold of one. Well, I didn't think to request a window when I reserved the room. I thought I'd have one. Well, I have everything else, the wallpaper, the pictures, the Gideon Bible. I have everything. I just don't have a window. Now, there's loads of hot water, plenty of hot water. As a matter of fact, from both taps. I wanted to ask you about that, too, sir. One sort of curious thing, sir. You know the dresser? Four drawers? Three are painted on. Now, why is that, sir? Anyway, getting back to that window, what do you think we can do about installing one or find the one we have? Where do you think I find it? Near which door? Well, now, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you about, sir. I I can't find my door, sir. I don't know where it is. Now, I'm not denying I have a door. I'm in the room. There must be a door. I didn't materialize in here, but I cannot find the door. Now, where do you think I'd find it? Near which window? I don't have a window. Now, would that be an odd place to put a door next to a window? I mean, if you walk through, you'd fall right out of the building, wouldn't you, sir? I mean, I have one door over here, but that's the door to my closet. Oh, I thought I had one.
The incomparable Shelley Berman, you know, no one... He was way ahead of his time, I think. Shelley Berman, he passed away going on 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, September 2017. Man, if you want, you know, someone who really spoke to this thing we call cultural Marxism now with cutting wit and humor, way ahead of his time, I would say, in that context, you know, before there was Carlin, there was Shelley Berman. Man, the talk about, you know, high-level intellectual humor that actually appealed to broadly to the masses. I think he was way ahead of his time. But you listen to some of that old stuff that Shelley Berman did back in the day, before some of us were even born. And man, today, I mean, it's still funny today, and I would say every bit is relevant. So there were things happening. There were people speaking to that. You know, the one of the other little bits that's one of my favorites is the choreography scene in White Christmas. Danny Kaye, Vera Ellen, what's his name? You know, the known as the choreography scene and the drab communist looking, you know, postmodernist nonsense, which is ridiculous, and they're mocking it, making fun of it. And that's something that Dan and I actually went back and forth on. It was kind of an interesting little, that is a, you know, a whole discussion of itself. Anyway, this is a real thing and something, but, you know, at the same time, we're not supposed to focus on. So just to conclude, and then we'll go to the phones. You know, there's this section on the Frankfurt School Wikipedia entry titled Cultural Marxism Conspiracy Theory. And it's, you know, the whole post, you know, up until that point and beyond, is steeped in Marxist rhetoric, but you're not supposed to believe that there is an effort to infect the public mind with that kind of Marxist rhetoric and influence? Huh? I'm confused. How could somebody even write that and expect to be taken seriously? Kind of like Mike Pompeo saying. Anyway, so this little paragraph. Like Karl Marx, the Frankfurt School concerned themselves with the conditions, political, economic, societal, that allow for social change. Really, isn't it interesting? Certain people are always wanting to change others and do it in secret, by stealth. They don't want you to know about it. Why is that? If it's a good idea, it doesn't need force, and you don't have to do it in secret, right? You don't have to manipulate people with game theory and memetics and cybernetics and all these things. It's a good idea. It'll stand on its own. The Bernays of the world say, no, we have to propagandize them anyway. They're too stupid to know better. Well, aren't you? How are you not one of them? How do they become you if you're suddenly, you know, enlightened? So concern themselves with the conditions that allow for social change realized by way of, and realized is with an S, it's the, you know, straight out of the Tavistock Institute apparently, by way of rational social institutions. Yeah, rational social institutions. The emphasis upon the critical component of social theory derived from surpassing the ideological limitations of positivism, materialism, and determinism by returning to the critical philosophy of Kant and his successors in German idealism. By the way, what did Friedrich Hayek write about what those people were reading in the Weimar Republic. What happened in Nazi Germany? It was, let's see, who they were studying. That's right. Who they were reading. Stuff they were gobbling up. Principally the philosophy of Hegel, which emphasized dialectic and contradiction. No wonder we're all confused and upset, as intellectual property is inherent to the human grasp of material reality. Yeah. Contradiction, that's a way to do it. You know, no wonder people are upset. So you start just, I mean, even taking this stuff at face value, no wonder people are upset with themselves and with one another. Holding these competing thoughts, again, I hear echoes of Norman Dodd's interview with J. Edward Griffin, 1982. So they told me they were introducing this irreconcilable and perpetual conflict. What would a bunch of bankers want to do that for? So cultural Marxism dates back to the turn of the 20th century easily, and those people had ties to, you know, the Fabian connection and the Rhodes-Miller roundtable and all of that nonsense. Why? And then, of course, you know, inextricably linked to, you know, these goofy National Conference of Race Betterment, eugenicists and all of that garbage. But it's a kinder, gentler form now. Anyway, no wonder we're having trouble. And this stuff hasn't gone away. The control is you know, it's just supposed to fade into the walls like the internet now. It's a kinder, gentler eugenics, Francis Fukuyama would have us believe. So hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, let's go to the phones. David in San Francisco, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Chris. Yeah, it's kind of always an interesting topic. Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was on there. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Edward Bernays. You know, if you know about his history, and maybe some of the other listeners never heard of him before, but he was Sigmund Freud's nephew, right? And he was hired to basically, you know, trick the public into accepting advertisements. And it was like the advertising agencies would hire this nephew of the famous psychiatrist to figure out how to trick Americans into buying all kind of crap. And
right, again, the guy who, when he showed up on the shores of America in 1909, said, they don't realize we're bringing them the plague. His nephew was a guy that used that psychoanalysis and the depth approach and those focus groups to
marketeering.
Basically, yeah,
marketeering,
trick the American public.
Yeah, marketeering bad ideas. You know, if a good idea spreads quickly, bad ideas take a little while longer, right? So that's kind of an offshoot of a Henry Kissinger quote. You know, crimes are instant, but treason takes a little while longer. And, in fact, I think Gorsuch's, that's his favorite quote when he was in high school. Crimes are instant, but treason takes a little while longer. So, you know, Edward Bernays and the propaganda campaigns of teaching America, tricking America into bad advice, and then, you know, getting them to lose their farms. You know, take some bad advice, you'll lose everything you got. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, that I used to live in Colorado, and there's a town up there called Leadville. You ever been up in mountains in Colorado?
No.
Well, Leadville's about like you would imagine. It used to be a lead mine. The company ripped, you know, raped and ran. So they basically left this huge gash of the earth open, and it's now pouring out lead into the creeks. They never cleaned it up. They never covered it over. They took the money and ran, and now everybody downstream of Leadville is drinking lead. And so the idea that's, what was your expression, social controversies, or what was it, weaponizing controversies?
Yes.
I mean, when mm-hmm. you're a family downstream of a poisonous mess, and you're raising your family and kids, and you realize that they've been poisoning you for decades, that your babies are drinking lead water, you know, and you're trying to raise your little family and your little farm in a nice town in Colorado, and then all of a sudden this, now you talk about weaponizing a controversy. Why don't they, you know, so this issue of, like, free health care. If a famous old mining company wanted to pay that city back, they would give them free health care for the rest of their lives, because they're going to need a bunch of doctors to deal with the lead poisoning, right? And that whole county is basically going to be just like the old cigarette manufacturers. You know, they had to pay into a health care fund for the people that they gave cancer. And so now, you know, the cigarettes are still, they're expensive because they're paying into that medical fund. Well, if you talk about these welfare cheats of poisoners, you know, like the Koch brothers, they find it cheaper to buy politicians than it is to buy a hospital.
Absolutely.
And they do it.
When you think about that, I was thinking about that during Wednesday's facial recognition congressional oversight hearings. You know, how much would it cost the industry to buy off a few people? $100 million, $200, $500 million? When you look at that, well, yeah, when you compare that to, you know, the alternatives, you know, like you're saying, I mean, that it sounds like a small sum, you know? And when you can implement something
in a political campaign, is how cheap they go. I mean, some of them are $2,000, they're crawling through glass. It's selling out a whole county for a measly couple of grand, you know, to not give them health care and poison the generation's future. You know, these guys, and in fact, this whole thing, Trump has appointed, what was it, 158 judges? And you can't, how many of those are clean judges? If Trump is organized crime, then and organized crime chooses the judges.
Two things on that before we sort of skip away from that. For those who don't know, and I think most of the listeners to this broadcast do know, but those who would dismiss or eschew those kinds of remarks, you know, how dare you imply that people can be bought off? Well, or that an industry, you know, I'm going to set aside the Council of the Gods discussion and IG Farben and Standard Oil Alliance, that kind of stuff, which is still going on today. And, you know, setting those aside, setting aside, you know, IBM and Ford and all these big corporations that work with despots and tyrants historically, you know, read Anthony Sutton on that kind of stuff. Setting all of that aside, those kinds of things notwithstanding, I always think of the New York Times article, 1982. The article was titled Debt Retirement Party Becoming an Institution. That was 1982. And so the talk of debt retirement parties, and it's exactly what you described. It's much, much, you know, people can be bought off for much less than you would expect. And so the freshman congressman shows up on Capitol Hill. You have all these special interest groups and lobbyists that show up. They throw a debt retirement party. You got a mortgage, you got car payments, you got whatever, you know, kids in college, throw that stuff in a pile and we'll auction your debt off and we'll have these people buy it. Well, then this person is beholden to those interests because, like Mark Twain said, show me where a man gets his corn pone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. We play that clip from time to time from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think of that. This comes up. The other thing, though, speaking of, you know, talking about an industry legislating change to their benefit, specifically in this fashion, if that's not an issue, then what was James Madison talking about in Federalist Number 62 when he referred to the sagacious and moneyed few who are able to harvest the benefits of government regulations? What was he referring to? It's not a new issue. And so if you're writing the legislation, you can probably tell, like he says, you know, how things are going to work out. You know, those who can trace the consequences harvest, you know,
from its... I was going to give you a couple of new numbers. You remember just about the time Trump got elected, Trump University got forced to pay the settlement. And it was Trump University
not much.
Ripped off. Well, they had ripped off $125 million, and
and they paid back what, 25 or something like that.
Claimed. There were still people out there that had never put in a claim. Well, 125 was what it was up to by the time they settled, but he was only forced to pay off $25 million.
That's
so he got away with $100 million ripoff at minimum, and at the time he got elected, and so how is it that America got tricked so obviously? Even to this day, you know, people don't realize that he got away with $100 million ripoff with his Trump University by only paying $25 million settlement.
John Stadmiller might say something like, you know, P.T. Barnum told us a sucker's born every minute, something like that.
Good
Stadmillerism is what we need right here.
Yeah, but he did it to America, and he left everybody with a bad credit rating. Because, you know, they were hoping for some settlement. You know, that for years they had their Trump University degree that got them nowhere, and they still had to pay off student loans. And so for $125 million ripoff of American, you know, students who were trying to keep, you know, abreast of the rising inflation rate all after subprime, you know, Trump University didn't get them a job, and they still had to pay their student loans. And he got to keep $100 million, and they got 20%. So and the lawyers actually got the bigger chunk of it. So how many people are still struggling because of Trump University, and he still got away with it. So he's,
that's just
what you're talking
business,
about,
though, Dave.
Well, you know, but your expression, what was it, cultural Marxism or something like that?
Uh-huh.
See, the thing that I'm remembering about that whole issue of Marx was, wasn't he in the Russian Tsar? Marx was around like in the 1850s, right? And they were still underneath the Russian Tsar. And if I understand right, Marx he got out of Russia and got to Germany, where he was living under the Kaiser, which is also a king. And so it's, you know, the cousin kings, actually, the Tsar and the Kaiser. And so, you know, Marxism was actually fighting against monarchies. And they didn't even have capitalism.
That's part of the 6 points, the Illuminized 6 points. And that's why that always seems to accompany.
I'm not sure what you mean, 6 points.
Nesta Webster's World Revolution in particular, she did a good job of Nesta Helen Webster, her book.
I don't think I ever heard of her.
Her book, World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, 1921. She talked about, you know, from John Robison's Proofs of a Conspiracy. Here's the excerpt. The Order of the Illuminati adjured Christianity and advocated sensual pleasures, speaking of cultural Marxism. In the lodges, death was declared an eternal sleep. Patriotism and loyalty were called narrow-minded prejudices and incompatible with universal benevolence. Further, they accounted all princes, usurpers, and tyrants, and all privileged orders as their abettors. They meant to abolish the laws which protected property accumulated by long-continued and successful industry, and to prevent for the future any such accumulation. They intended to establish universal liberty and equality, the imprescriptible rights of man, and as necessary, preparations for all this, they intended to root out all religion and ordinary morality, and even to break the bonds of domestic life by destroying the veneration for marriage vows and by taking the education of children out of the hands of parents. Reduced to a simple formula, the aims of the Illuminati may be summarized in the following 6 points: abolition of monarchy and of all ordered government, abolition of private property, abolition of inheritance, abolition of patriotism, abolition of the family, i.e. marriage and all morality and the institution of the communal education of children, And finally, Finally, number six, abolition of all religion. Those are the six illuminized points, anyway.
Well, I mean, what you've been describing there, would she have been considered a corporate statist? It looks like she was about 40 when Hitler came to rise. Was she writing back then?
No. Nesta Webster wrote about the plot. She wrote the book World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization. She was exposing the plot.
Yeah, I think she's the same one, yeah.
She's not advocating those things. She's saying intriguers.
Plot. If I understand right, she wrote about the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. They were compiled and published in the same year in form under the cause of world unrest. She claimed that the authenticity of the Protocols of Zion was an open question. By the way, have you ever read that book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail?
I don't understand your point there. What was the point of what you just said?
Well, I was
before we run away from that.
Yeah, I was reading from Wikipedia on Nesta Helen Webster, right? And and it says in there in 1920 she was one of the contributing authors who wrote The Jewish Peril, a series of articles in the London Morning Post. It centered on the anti-Semitic forgeries of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. These articles were compiled and published by the same year, in the same year, in book form under the title of The Cause of World Unrest. Webster claimed that the authenticity of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was an open question. And that's why I asked you about if you ever read Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Because
yeah, we've talked about that before. Same answer as the last time you asked me.
Yeah, because that book describes the origins of the protocols and whether or not the Tsar actually created it as a forgery and then foisted it off into Germany. And it was, and you mentioned Pike earlier, too. You remember Pike was from Arkansas, and he was considered one of the brains of the Confederacy, and he had to go on the run after the South lost the war, and I think he ended up his life living in London. So he was like a traitor, to America, and helped stir up he was basically one of those that tricked the South into breaking away. And you remember the British tricked the South into breaking away in the Confederacy. They were trying to reclaim America, and they figured if they could create a civil war, they could reclaim America. So Pike was in on that.
So, absolutely, and those are, the stuff that we've talked about extensively on this broadcast and I think on the network. But what does all of that have to do with Nesta Webster's book, World Revolution, and the 6 points?
Well, it was basically on your theme of whether or not there was this cultural Marxism, because Marx was trying to beat out these evil kings, the Tsar and the Kaiser, and the idea that a capitalism was also trying to beat kings. And so two natural enemies two natural allies have been turned into enemies by a phrase like cultural Marxism. It's like you're accepting for reality the king's numbers. Check the books. The kings are always liars, and their books are always
more to say on that, but we're out of time, and I appreciate your call,
thanks.
David. Folks, I hope it was informative, as always. It is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Cholesterol or blockages in the arteries. What do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.